From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Supernatural with Graham Hancock. I'm getting ready for that one. In a major turnaround, the White House is expected this week to order a review of the spacecraft program that NASA had hoped would one day replace the space shuttle. The decision follows months of critical reports questioning whether the new Ares-1 rocket in the Orion capsule could meet a goal of sending astronauts into orbit by 2015. The review would examine whether they are the best options or if the agency should pick another spacecraft. The announcement is planned to coincide with the Thursday release of President Barack Obama's $18.7 billion spending plan for NASA. Agency and industry insiders said this proposal should offer the first major clues as to the new president's plans for the agency. Now here's this one. Fact or fiction? A noted scientist apparently claims to have produced proof that the lunar surface was inhabited by intelligent life. A 10-inch angel sculpture embedded in a moon rock. Geologist Dr. Morris Charles, if he's real, revealed last week that NASA lab workers chipped the angel from one of the rocks brought to Earth by Apollo 11 astronauts 40 years ago, in 1969. Dr. Charles was a NASA scientist himself for 23 years, but left the agency in 1987. He still maintains close ties to many of his former colleagues. NASA says, not so. In a moment, Richard C. Hoagland reacts, of course, to President Obama's plans for NASA, and possibly this story, too. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke gave his most optimistic prediction yet about the end of the recession, saying he expects the economy to start growing again this year, although the comeback could be weak and more jobs will disappear even after a recovery takes hold. The Fed chief told Congress's Joint Economic Committee that he saw hopeful signs, including firmer home sales, a revival in consumer spending, and some improvement in lending conditions for banks, businesses, and individuals. General Motors Corporation detailed plans to all but wipe out the holdings of remaining shareholders by issuing up to 60 billion new shares in a bid to pay off debt to the U.S. government, bondholders, and the United Auto Workers Union. The unusual plan, which was detailed in a filing with U.S. securities regulators, would only need the approval of the U.S. Treasury Department to proceed, since the U.S. government would be the majority shareholder of the new GM. And Chrysler, well, they're not going to repay our money, the $7 billion in bailout money that it received earlier this year and as part of its bankruptcy filing. This revelation was buried within Chrysler's bankruptcy filings last week and finally confirmed by the Obama administration. Scientists unveiled what they hope will be one of the world's fastest biofuel vehicles, powered by waste from chocolate factories and made partly from plant fibers. Its makers hope that the car will go 145 miles an hour, it's a race car now, and give manufacturers ideas about how to build more environmentally friendly vehicles. The car runs on vegetable oils and chocolate waste that has been turned into biofuel. The steering wheel is made out of plant-based fibers derived from carrots and other root vehicles, and the seat is built of flax fiber and soybean oil foam. The body is also made of plant fibers. If you ever get hungry, you can just eat the car. U.S. health officials are no longer recommending that schools close if students come down with the swine flu. Last week, schools were advised to shut down for about 2 weeks if there were suspected cases of swine flu. Hundreds of schools around the country have followed the government's guidance and closed schools, giving students an unexpected vacation and leaving some parents scrambling for child care. And a woman from Texas has now become the first U.S. resident believed to have died from the swine flu. The woman from Cameron County, close to the U.S. border with Mexico, died earlier this week, according to the Texas Health Department of State Health officials. By the way, 36,000 people die in this country every year from the normal flu, CDC figures. In the news, which is at coasttocoastam.com, 5 years ago, a shotgun blast left a ghastly hole where the middle of her face had been. 5 months ago, she received a new face from a dead woman. And now Connie Culp stepped forward today to show off the results of the nation's first face transplant. And her new look was a far cry from the puckered, noseless sight that made children run away in horror. Culp's expressions are a bit unnatural still, but she can talk, smile, smell, and taste her food again. Her speech is at times a little tough to understand. Her face is bloated and squarish. Her skin droops in big folds, but doctors plan to pare away as her circulation improves and her nerves grow, animating her new muscles. It is a miracle for her. Problems in Pakistan. Black turban Taliban militants seized government buildings, landmines, fought security forces in the Swat Valley of Pakistan as fear of a major operation led thousands to pack their belongings on their heads and backs and simply cram aboard buses and flee the northwestern region there. The collapse of a three-month-old truce with the Taliban means Pakistan will now have to fight to regain control of the Swat Valley, testing the ability of its stretched military and the resolve of civilian leaders who until recently were insisting that the insurgents could be partners in peace. I guess not. The government feared the refugee exodus could reach 500,000 people. In New York, immediately after U.S. troops captured Saddam Hussein in 2003, Iraq's brutal ex-dictator turned into a crybaby over beatings by detention gang and sleepless nights amid screams of torture victims. Saddam jotted out complaints to whom it may concern in two Christmas 2003 letters handwritten in Arabic, which he gave to U.S. military jailers. In one letter, he said, "Beatings that I have received following my capture in which not a single part of my body was spared of the severe harm that was inflicted by the detention gang." Of course, Saddam seems to have forgotten the people he tortured and executed by the thousands. Dom DeLuise, the portly actor-comedian whose affable nature made him a popular character actor for decades with movie and TV audiences as well as directors and fellow actors, has died. He was 75 years old. Here he appeared with Dean Martin.
I'm going to come right to the point. The Department of Defense has decided to give your company the contract for the new anti-ballistic missile. Now, how much was that again?
$17,369,79,000 million.
No! That's a lot of...
Dom DeLuise died in his sleep after a long illness. He was one funny guy. Feature story at coasttocoastam.com. A rather remarkable UFO filmed by a farmer apparently working in the fields in Russia. Not much is known about the video, which you can see, the exact location of its filming or the individual that filmed it. It is receiving a fair bit of coverage on Russian UFO and paranormal forums. Many UFO experts seem rather impressed by it. Go take a look. Up next, Richard C. Hoagland joins us on Coast to Coast AM. Richard C. Hoagland, head of the EnterpriseMission.com, and also our science advisor, is with us. Hey, Richard, how are you?
Good evening, George.
I don't know what story to ask you first.
Ask me about the serious one, please.
Well,
please.
The serious one we're going to... But I got to get your reaction to this statue found on the moon. Who is this?
A long or a one-word answer?
Who's the geologist? Have you ever heard of him? Morris Charles?
No, but there's a Charles Morris at JPL. Look, this is typical Weekly World News nonsense. Years ago, a friend of mine actually cornered the editor of the Weekly World News back when Monuments of Mars was published.
Right.
And he actually had a copy of Monuments of Mars under his arm when he was talking to my friend. And he said, look, he says, every time Hoagland does a press conference or comes out with something, we publish something in the Weekly World News. He's great copy. This is nonsense. This is absolute garbage, starting with there is no Morris Charles.
But you do believe that there's structures on the moon.
Yeah, but it's not a matter of belief. It's a matter of science. You know, if Charles Morris, Morris Charles...
I got to find him. I got to find this guy.
He doesn't exist.
Well, then you help me find
him. I Googled, before I came on tonight, I Googled. There's Charles Morris at JPL, who has been there for a while.
Right.
But the Weekly World News and all these tabloids, which, by the way, were started by the CIA. You know that, right?
I did not know that.
After World War II, they started the tabloid industry so they would have plausible disinformation outlets where they can put stuff out. People will go, give me a break. And they've covered the real stuff with fake stuff.
But this is a great story, a 10-inch angel sculpture on the moon. Don't shoot this down.
George.
All right, here it is. Hear that? That's Thanks. That story.
All right.
Okay, now to the other one.
Moving on to reality.
Now, tell me about this story. He's going to unveil Thursday his budget for NASA. He's not been too happy.
$18.7 billion for NASA for this coming fiscal year.
And as you know, some rogue scientists have been trying to tell him, do not go with this plan to replace the shuttle. We've got a better idea.
Well, again, COAST is at the forefront of this story. Remember, you had, about a year ago, I think, me, Rick Sterling, David Livingston, and you, and
yes.
we all had a wonderful discussion for 3 hours regarding the downside of the Bush plan to return to the moon and go on to Mars. And we, particularly in terms of Rick Sterling and his input, was reporting on a number of engineers who are basically with NASA, who in their downtime, in their own time, have been desperately trying behind Mike Griffin's back, as long as he was administrator, to get the agency to see reason and to scrap the plan that's currently on the table, which they said, and it's looking more and more from the test data, they're right, it cannot work. It's costing a fortune and will not get us back to the moon and on to Mars. And one of these key groups, which is called DIRECT or DIRECT 2, actually during the transition was invited by the Obama transition team to make a presentation to the people that were looking at NASA in terms of what Obama should do when he became actual president after January 20th. We now know, and the Orlando Sentinel has broken the story in the mainstream, that this Thursday there will be announced an official review of the President Bush's plan to return to the moon and go on to Mars, and specifically focusing on the Tinker Toy rocket that Griffin and company came up with called Ares 1, which is really a kludge, and more the engineering data says not only can it work, but it shouldn't work because it will endanger astronauts, it will cost a fortune to fix it, it'll be underpowered, it will never perform the way it was initially advertised, and it's basically a black hole which NASA should never have been allowed to go down.
Now, if they scrap it, which they probably will that put us behind it all?
Actually, no, because there are two perfectly viable flying options already in the Air Force arsenal, the Delta IV and the Atlas V. Which are big rockets ordered by the Air Force for its, you know, geosynchronous communication satellites,
right.
spy satellites, et cetera, which have been flying now for years, are extraordinarily reliable, very high-powered, liquid fuel, not solid fuel, and have a database of longevity where we actually have data. You know, NASA's rocket, the replacement of the shuttle, is at the moment a paper rocket. Nothing has been built. Nothing exists. It's all in the computers or in terms of some tests of the solid fuel motors in tie-down tests out at Martin Thiokol in Utah. So what we should be doing and what Obama appears to be doing, which is what presidents do when they come in and want to basically change a game plan, is they call together a commission, they do a review, and then they use that as their excuse to move in the direction that they want to move. Obama appears to be thinking seriously, and I have this on very good authority behind the scenes tonight, seriously about basically forgoing the moon part and going to Mars.
Straight to Mars.
Straight to Mars. Now, the reason I find this extraordinary is the Mars is where the bodies are buried. Pun almost not intended.
True.
Our heritage, as you and I have discussed on this show umpteen times, and I've written now 2 books on this subject with data, our heritage is on Mars. The ancient ancestors of the human species built Cydonia et al. And if you really want to kickstart the globe, if you really want to totally revolutionize global economies, culture, togetherness, we're all in this together, that kind of thing, you've got to think outside the box. I mean, really think outside the box. Look at what's going on. I mean, you listen to you and Corsi last night. It's enough to make one want to go out and commit suicide.
Well, don't do that.
So if you're going to solve these intractable terrestrial problems, you know the old cliche, if you keep doing the same old thing and expect a different result, you're nuts. We've got to do something different. Fortunately, there is data which says we can do something different if we have the right president who has the imagination and courage and integrity of a John Kennedy, who seizes the moment to do something outside the box that will bring humanity as a species together. And I think, based on this data, and it's very fragmentary so far, I think that's what Obama is thinking.
We need a dramatic space plan right now.
Well, not only would it be dramatic in terms of cultural relations, you know, the fractionation of the human species, everybody at war with everybody, endless little tribes trying to, you know, one up the next tribe, but it would also be an extraordinary godsend for global economics. I mean, we spend most of our money on this planet in pursuit of one thing, George. What is that?
Oil.
No. War.
War and oil, they're somewhat related, aren't they?
Well, they're going to become increasingly related, because if we're stuck in the oil box, we're going to have to kill each other for the last drop of oil. Whereas if you look at space as a resource, as an economic resource of almost infinite potential, which is what Kennedy and his first NASA administrator, James Webb, envisioned back in the 1960s. I mean, Kennedy quietly planned with Webb to create what they called together a space age America. And then he was murdered. He was killed before it could be really implemented. And instead of being the beginning, Apollo, the missions to the moon, became an end in and of themselves. And then when we had done that, we stopped doing it, and we never did anything really interesting out in space for the last 40 years. I have been saying on this program and in many other venues that the Obama administration is a continuation of the Kennedy administration. So if you like what Kennedy was beginning, if you like that trend curve in every area, from human rights to bringing people together to solving the problem of the Cold War, which was the intractable problem of the 20th century back then, and how did Kennedy propose to solve it? He repeatedly made overtures to Khrushchev to quietly combine our efforts and go to the moon together. And we now know on the record, reported in, you know, Dark Mission and many other venues, that Khrushchev agreed in November of 1963. 10 days later, Kennedy was murdered. And a year later, Khrushchev was basically committed to house arrest for the rest of his life. And the Cold War went on, and trillions were spent and mega weapon systems created, and the chance to change the world was thwarted by the murder, essentially, of one man. His successor, in that same intellectual, cultural, spiritual vein, Barack Obama, appears to be looking for something that will unite humanity, and that has to be something as big as humanity, and there is only one thing off this planet which is as big as us, and that is the potential of space and our heritage itself.
When I look at this planned $18.7 billion spending plan for NASA, and then you look at the amount of money they have given for stimulus and for GM and Chrysler, do you know what we could have done with that kind of money for the space program?
Yeah. And see, the tragedy, George, is that we now know from studies we've been looking at and have been done over the last 40, 50 years, that for every dollar we invest, and I underscore that word, invest, through NASA, through research and development, this country becomes at a minimum like $7 or $8 richer. So the return on investment is like 7 or 8 to 1. So if you prorate that $18.7 billion over the next 10, 20 years, just multiply that by 8, and that's how much money the American taxpayer is going to make in the form of new products, new technologies, new ways of manipulating energy, new ways of communication, new ways of travel, all the things that we don't have because we've been stuck in the oil box for the last 40 years. Now, if you take the high end of the numbers of these studies, which from one of the econometric firms, I forget which one, in the 70s said that the return was something like $23 for every NASA dollar invested, multiply $18.7 billion by 23, let it run for 20 years and see how much money. In other words, NASA is not a black hole. NASA is a fountain of you know, the not fountain of youth, but the kind of eternal recycling of money that produces real wealth. And there are very few things that governments can do that actually generate real wealth. In that sense, conservatives are absolutely right. Most of what government does is to redistribute money the private sector creates. The one area where that axiom is not true is in NASA spending, because it is fundamental research and development investment, and that produces genuine, measurable, real new wealth.
We're going to keep the science advisor for some phone calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, he's the author of Fingerprints of the Gods and now Supernatural. And next hour, Graham Hancock joins us on Coast to Coast AM. But when we come right back, it's the head of the Enterprise Mission.com, Richard C. Hoagland, and your calls don't go away. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We've got Richard C. Hoagland. We've got your phone calls. Richard, before we go to the calls, anything new on the documentary now that you're back from Central America?
I had a really nice chat with some of the network execs this morning, and we're doing more filming. In fact, I believe you're going to be talked to in the next few days.
Okay.
And all I can say is the results we got in Mexico and Guatemala are absolutely astonishing. The HD torsion physics that I've been pioneering, starting with Carl Castle back in 2004. And we're probably going to be doing some kind of a preview. I'm not quite sure where. Maybe on the East Coast between now and November to show people some of the data. Because in 2 hours, given all the people that we've interviewed and all the things that we're trying to cram in, there's going to be no time to really go in depth as to what this means. But this really is going to rewrite the textbooks in terms of Newtonian physics and relativity. There is no way that those two areas of physics, one prescinding from the other, can be real if the readings that we got at Teotihuacan and Tikal are, and in fact, they are.
Sounds exciting. I can't wait to see this.
It's extraordinary. Now, before I get on to the calls, let me make one more announcement.
Sure.
Every year since 1976, NASA has given every taxpayer who calls or writes them a free book. I'm sitting here looking at the 2008 version. It's called Spinoff. 50 years of NASA-derived technologies from 1958 to 2008. And this year, of course, is 51 years. There's a website you can go to. You can send an email, or you can just call NASA headquarters in Washington. The operator can give you the number. And you can ask for a free copy of this 200-plus page color-illustrated book, which shows all of the amazing technological developments that NASA finds and implements that it then provides to private industry free of charge. This is the economic engine that I was talking about before the break. That website is http://www.sti.nasa.gov/TTO.
Okay, I'll have Lex check it out and post it for you. That's something. Free.
Well, this is amazing because every year you get an update on how your tax dollars are making the country richer. It's unprecedented. In the history of governments, there has never been a government activity that actually makes the country richer except for NASA.
To the phones we go. Let's go to Daniel, first of all, in Hawaii. Now, I say it, Daniel, as Hawaii. I have a friend who lives there. And she told me that's the way you pronounce it. Is she right? Daniel? Daniel's on remote.
He's hiding on the other side of 19.5.
He is. Well, we've got a delay, and if you're not right there on the phone, you're going to get caught. Let's go to Brian in Santa Cruz, California, west of the Rockies. We'll never find out if I'm pronouncing it right, by the way, Richard. Go ahead, Brian.
Hi. I was wondering, what's going on with the aerospace plane initiative started under Reagan, in particular the scramjets, the lithium hydrates, the nanotube supercapacitors, the fuel cells, platinum, palladium?
Well, the fuel cell technology, of course, comes directly from what was developed during the Apollo program, but an awful lot of these technologies have kind of been on hold. I mean, when you look at the NASA fundamental R&D program, it's nothing like it used to be back during the Kennedy years. And that's where I'm really encouraged by Obama taking the bull by the horns and reassessing what what NASA was proposing to do in terms of going back to the moon and on to Mars. If you're really going to do this stuff, at some point you have to do it with much better technology than we've been talking about. But you need the proper political leadership. You need someone like an Obama or a Kennedy who can sell it to the Congress and sell it to the American people and show how they actually will be better off by spending this money and this kind of investment. And up until now, we have not had that presidential leadership. Hopefully, we may have it with Obama, given the tea leaves that we're reading.
Next up, we go to Paul in Taylor, Michigan, east of the Rockies. Know it well. Hi, Paul.
Hey, hey, how you doing, George? This is Paul. And Richard, how you doing? I'd like to find out more about what the deal is on this moon landing thing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious about when they did the moon landing, how did they take off? And if they was to do that again, would they be able to take off and go on to Mars the same way?
Well, the idea is not to leave from the moon and go to Mars. The idea initially, as part of President Bush's proposal, was to go back to the moon, develop technologies which could exploit resources found on the moon, for instance, water, make that into rocket fuel, create the kind of base structure that you would then use to create the technologies to go to Mars. But you wouldn't be leaving from the moon to go to Mars. It would be a kind of a technological test bed for ultimately living and working on the planet Mars when you got there.
Okay, great. Next up, let's go to Long Island. Sierra, welcome to Coast, you're up with us.
Oh, hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to see, get your reaction to this. A couple of weeks ago on television, they showed, it was America's Next Top Model, April 3rd, they showed a close-up of the moon during a Segway shot. And in the lower right quadrant, there was very clearly visible, it looked like a dome, a perfect circle, with three tubes radiating out from it. It was perfectly symmetrical. The tubes were perfectly equidistant. And, it was just very apparently not a natural, formation. And I just, wondered if
you didn't have
they made a mistake by showing that shot, or they were intending to, get some information leaked through, or what your thoughts are.
You didn't tape the show, I guess.
No, but they showed a rerun of it a few days later, and I saw the same shot, and it was just very, very apparent. If you can go back to it, it's in the lower right-hand quadrant of the moon shot.
Well, without
halfway
knowing
through the show,
obviously I can't comment because I didn't see the picture.
Right, it was America's Next Top Model on April 3rd.
Well, look, I know that media are being used to leak interesting information, and who knows who decided to put that shot in that show. But again, without seeing it, I can't really comment on the reality of it.
Richard, speaking of pictures, anything new with the data head that you unveiled at Joshua Tree and shocked everybody with?
Well, what we found, which looks like an android or robot head in Shorty Crater.
It truly does.
At the Apollo 17 landing site, particularly when you take more than one picture and you carefully register them, which reduces the noise and increases the signal, it looks incredibly real. Now, what I'm hoping is that either as part of an official effort to go to the moon or as part of the Google Lunar Prize effort. Remember that?
Yes.
The Google people are sponsoring, I think, 10 or 20 groups to privately try to create a robotic technology to go to the moon. And if they do it between now and 2012, they get several million dollars, et cetera, as prize money. What I'm hoping to do is that one of these contestants, and we've actually had some quiet discussions with a few of the teams, one of them will want to go back to the Shorty Crater area and take a close-up photograph of Data's head. If that were to be done by a private group, George, not affiliated with any government, and you saw those pictures, wouldn't you be really, really impressed? And wouldn't you want the next step to be to maybe bring that head back to Earth?
Assuming it wasn't brought back, huh?
Assuming... I kind of missed that.
Yeah, assuming it wasn't brought back and they just never told us.
Assuming exactly, and that, of course, is the big mystery. Did Cernan and Schmidt, bring it back? We don't know. See,
because it's also possible they didn't see it when they took that picture.
It's very possible because there's a lot of debris sparkling on the floor of that crater, you know, angular metal things, glass things. They could have missed it. What I find interesting is this weekly world news story is exactly the kind of cover real information with noise that this newspaper, again, started by the CIA
That's
back in the 1950s, used to put out to cover real stories. It's kind of like cover, you know, throwing a spaghetti on the wall, something will stick and people will not know the real from the fake.
So if I find a Morris Charles, he could be a setup too, a not real character.
I believe you're not going to find Morris Charles.
At least the real one. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Let's go to New York. Hello, Mary. It's your turn.
Hi. I think that money that goes towards the space program should be by donation only, because I and many people are in the boat where we're too ill to make money to go to get medical things taken care of, to be forced to spend our tax money when we can't even get the basics taken care of. Now, I could sacrifice all this if, you know, to say that the world would come together and we wouldn't have to kill each other for oil if we all had the project of going to Mars or wherever, that we would all then get along and you know, all those problems would be solved.
That utopia is not going to happen, Mary, I don't think.
Okay, Mary, do you have a computer?
Yes.
You need to get this book. So many crucial medical advances have been accomplished by NASA and provided freely to hospitals and other healthcare facilities through NASA research, just because they have to keep astronauts alive in an environment that wants to kill them. And it's not an either-or. See, this is the false dichotomy. It's not like we have to spend money on space or spend it on something else here. It's all spent here, A. And the Obama budget, if you look at the budget in detail, has an extraordinary amount of money devoted to the things that have been ignored for the last 40-some years. It's the fact that you've got to keep your R&D chop in place so you have future
Yes.
technologies to provide to society in the so-called out years. It's not an either-or choice.
And it's no reason why they can't take care of people like Mary, too.
Absolutely. And well, when you look well, at the amount of money that we are spending...
More research is always a good thing, but that's not going to help me to get to the doctors because I can't afford it because my taxes are going elsewhere.
But your taxes are mostly going for military, you know, adventures.
Oh, I know. So, well, I don't agree with that either.
But, if
but
you, were,
you know,
if,
it is taking were, away from my ability to even go to the doctor. And there are a lot of people. That's why I think, okay, if people want to play with this, you know, if I had more time and space and energy in my life to think about things like the luxuries of science, and in my case, that is a luxury.
Yeah, but Mary, Mary, it's not a luxury.
For me, if
the human race does not spend on fundamental knowledge and technologies to create a more ordered environment, to stop doing the stupid things we're doing in terms of, let's say, oil as opposed to other energy sources, we're going to kill the human race. It's clearly written in the data. We do not have an infinite time on this planet unless we take stewardship with appropriate technologies that are as big as the planet.
But what do you tell someone, Richard, who doesn't have any money, let's say, for heart medicine or something like that?
And... Well, most of those people fall below the poverty line anyway and are not being taxed. If you actually look at the demographics of who's being taxed...
You know what? There are more and more people that can't afford prescriptions, and they're above the poverty level.
And that's why you have to look at the new public policy plans of this administration to focus on, among others, those specific groups that are basically at the edge of forever. The fact is you've got to spend money in the out years. Otherwise, you basically wind up eating your seed corn. You basically are eating your assets and providing for no new generation of assets for the out years and for the next generation.
Let's go out to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Hello, Patrick. You're on with Richard C. Hoagland on Coast to Coast.
Yes. Hey. Hello.
Hi.
Richard,
yes.
Good work. Been a fan of yours since I was 15. I'm now 37. I have all your books and videos.
Oh, my God.
Just bought your hyperdimensional video.
Richard is now 92 years old.
Well, I'm going through a hyperdimensional.
Andy Rooney and I are going to have a joint birthday party soon.
Oh, well, I've been following you very closely. I've been going through a very hyperdimensional thing of my own at this very moment. Are you familiar with the Chandra Observatory and the so-called Hand of God that they found about 12 miles long?
Yes, we had that posted last week, as a matter of fact.
Well, I'll have you know, my initials are also PSR. My fiance is in India, and we're going to be married in July. Now, the colors, her favorite color is red. Also, the shirt that my future daughter is going to be was wearing was also red and blue. Now, you mentioned the Connected series sometime back in January or February, I believe it was.
You mean James Burke series?
Yes, wonderful series. I just bought the DVDs, and they are fantastic. I just bought – there's so much of them. I didn't know they were going to be that expensive, but they're all on Amazon, and I recommend it to the Coast audience.
It's an amazing series. Burke was a genius, and, George, you are going to get a present someday.
Well, you've always been promising me, Richard. Let's go to Baltimore. Dan, east of the Rockies, running out of time here. Go ahead, Dan. Hello, Daniel. Go.
No, this is Ben.
Oh. Well, it says Dan, so you're Dan now. No, I'm kidding, but that's it.
Okay. Look, my question is this. If there are so many what we perceive to be minerals on Mars and the moon, perhaps, then the people that left there for whatever reason, if there were ever people there, and they left there, are you saying that they could not develop the technology to save that? So they went to another world. Now the technology is being developed here where you can go back there and get those minerals to assist the greed, because the earth is being depleted from greediness, and that you don't think that that would happen again wherever they went?
That's one danger, that we simply replicate the same stupid stuff that we're doing here out there. But if you talk to any astronauts, particularly the International Space Station crews who have been up there from many different countries, you have something in space that happens called the overview effect, which David Livingston has actually discussed on this program, George, where people look down at the Earth and they see there aren't any boundaries. There's no fences. There's no little lines that say this is Saudi Arabia, this is China, this is Russia, this is Israel, et cetera, et cetera. It's one planet in distress. And the hope, of course, is that by acting together in concert as human beings, not as Americans or Canadians or Mexicans or Japanese or whatever, that we can begin something that has not happened in the recent history of the human race for a very, very, very long time, which is we utilize resources wisely for the literal benefit of all mankind in exploring our heritage. Because that's the part of this equation that we haven't had a chance to go into. We're not going out there looking at, you know, naked balls of metal and rock and resources. We're going to find our own history, who we really are, as all the people of the world together, our joint mutual heritage. And that's the one thing on a planet so divided that I believe in the 11th hour of our existence here, that can possibly, just possibly, bring us together and usher in a new era. If that doesn't do it, nothing will.
And it better happen sooner than later, Richard, don't you think?
Well, that's why I'm encouraged that Obama is taking the right steps. I don't want to get ahead of the story, but, George, I really believe in my heart of hearts tonight that this reappraisal is because there are extraordinary things going on behind the scenes, and we're going to see some evidence of this in the not-too-distant future.
Well, it's going to be an interesting ride, Richard C. Hoagland.
As always.
Next time.
Thanks.
Richard C. Hoagland. His website, enterprisemission.com. Go up there, and he updates it quite regularly. Now, when we come back in just a moment, Graham Hancock joins us. Lots to talk with Graham about tonight, including some of his past work, The Fingerprints of the Gods. But he's got a brand-new workout called Supernatural, and it is another one of those Graham Hancock home runs, so get ready for that. Need to email me? George at Coast2TO, coasttocoastam.com. And also, if you're not a member of StreamLink, go to the coasttocoastam.com website and take a look at how you can sign up for that and get podcasting and downloads all for one small monthly fee.